Today's daf is Masechet Shavuot, daf Yotet, and we're holding at the words Prakha Mitasek, which were the end of the five lines down, we're holding the beginning of the sixth line. However, because it's right smack bang in the middle of the sugya, it'd be best if we thought for a moment about where we're up to. So we were talking about the Machlokas in the Mishnah between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, trying to understand why they're arguing when they seem to be saying precisely the same thing. All the difference between them was, if you recall, is whether we learn out from the word v'ne'alam v'hu tamei that the issue is ha'alamat tumah and only ha'alat tumah, or we learn out from b'nivlat sheretz tamei v'ne'alam that the issue is ha'alamat tumah and only ha'alamat tumah and not ha'alamat mikdash. So the explanation that we had yesterday was fascinating. And actually, there is a totally different approach between these two things, despite the fact that they sound similar, and that Aliba de Rabbi Eliezer, the pasuk is going out of its way to list all of the possible tumas, because you need to know which one you were tameh with before you're going to be chayev the korban ol v'yared and tumas mikdash v'kedusha. Mashen kenegar Aliba de Rabbi Akiva, who looks to the generic v'hu tameh, so then all that's important is the fact of tumah, not the type of tumah. Now that led us to, because we're talking about a real difference in halacha, to insist that we understand what each one does with the other one's proof. Because now we have to look at not what's more reasonable to be dorish from, but rather what would be the point of each one of these drashas. So if there's a difference, we said that, okay, we understand why we would need to write Behema V'chaya. We would anyway mention Nivlat Sheretz, and we know from way back in the beginning of Masechet, the reason we need to mention Behemah V'chaya is in order to have an extra one to teach us that the pasuk that seems to be saying that you're chayev to bring a korban if you become tameh doesn't mean that. It means you're chayev if you became tameh and went into the Beit HaMikdash. You're chayev if you became tameh or you ate kodesh. What about the extra word sheretz, nivlat sheretz? Well, once already, that's the cloud of Rabbi Yishmael. Once we need to repeat a set, we repeat the whole set. We don't just hint to the set. So we can list everything. Lo nishnet ela bishvil davar shenitchadesh ba. Rabbi Eliezer's approach left him without an understanding of what the meaning is of ba. I mean, after all, it says, hoda alav chatato asher chata ba, which was back in the other sugya, which we thought was a contradiction, which is the way in which Rabbi Eliezer here demands idiyat sheretz, and when it comes to a normal chatas, couldn't care less about what chet you were chotei, as long as it was a chet. What's the difference? You slept with Anita, you slept with your sister, it's all the same thing. Bring a korban chatas, that was Rabbi Eliezer. So that's because he wasn't Dorish Ba, and we wanted to know what Ba was for. I'll leave it to Rabbi Eliezer. And we ended up saying that ba is to tell me prat l'mitasek, which, by the way, is one of the most chumrah sugyas, because we understand that the nature of mitasek spans a very, very broad variety of issues. And the problem with mitasek, as we hinted at yesterday, is that it touches upon issues that seem to be limited to the din of Shabbos, because there's certainly a mitasek, but somebody intended, let's say somebody intends to pick up a piece from the floor in order to bring it up to the table. And has no idea that that piece is actually a vegetable that's attached to the ground. He thought it was a vegetable that fell off the table. The man there had absolutely no intent to do a malacha. It's not that he thought it wasn't Shabbos, he thought this malacha was mutter. He had no idea that he was going to do a malacha. He picks it up and all of a sudden hears a poop and it detaches from the ground. Whoops. That's not a malacha at all. Now that I don't need ba to tell me it's not a malacha, because Shabbat, after all, defines malacha as malachat machshevet. Without the idea of mitasek, being involved in something else, being normative, it's definitely applicable to Shabbos, because Shabbos means the meaning of the word to do a malacha is to realize an intent at changing the nature of the physical universe. You never had such an intent, so you couldn't possibly have realized it. So I don't need but to talk about that case at all. Now the problem is, Rashi goes through now an explanation, so what exactly would we be talking about over here? So he says that there's a big difference between cases where your intent was to do what you were doing with this particular item, object, human, or you made a mistake in what it was that you were doing. There's a big difference between the two. So let's say in a case where you have Ishto v'achoto are with you in the same bed, and you're going to sleep now with your wife. And what happens is that she slips out from under where you were going to be, and your sister appears instead of her. You had, in that case, a kavana to sleep with one person. It ends up being the person you didn't want to sleep with at all. That is considered to be mitkaven. You're mitkaven to do one kind of act, and I believe the different act appears. The chiyuv would be where you thought that you wanted to sleep with this person, thinking it was your wife. So you slept with the individual that you wanted to sleep with. The act was the act you wished to do. That would be considered to be a shogeg, not a nitkaven. But when you thought you were sleeping with body one, and you ended up sleeping with body two, for that I need the idea of ba, because there's certainly no din of machshevet when it comes to issues such as arayot. Same thing would be in terms of something that I'm eating. I had in kavana to eat, I put my hand down to pick up a bit. This happens to you. You put your hand down to pick out something, you suddenly look at it and it's something completely different. It hasn't happened. You go to the fridge, you wanted to take out a bottle and you end up with a bottle of ketchup instead of a bottle of mowing. Wow, how did that happen? Same thing is true if you picked up a piece of chalev instead of the piece of shuman. You had no intention of eating that piece at all. That's a mitaseh. If your intent was to eat the piece thinking that the piece was kosher, it wasn't. That's a shogeg. Now, Tosfos is shocked by the Rashi because there is overall a general rule that the one place where we do not say mitaseh is arayot and eating. Why? Because you can't say you're busy doing something else when you're busy having fun. By definition, what it is that you're relating to is the object that you're enjoying. So how can you call that mitaseh? Where it doesn't really matter to you, you have no real relationship to the object. And it just happens to be that this is the tool with which things are being accomplished. There you could say mitaseh. You're going to tell me that somebody is having a relationship with a woman, but he isn't really noticing. I mean, it's a contradiction in terms. He's eating something. He doesn't realize he's eating something. Okay, so how does Rashi bring a raya from the dafka, give a model rather, dafka from the cases where the Gemara says that it's irrelevant? Very, very strange. Not to mention the fact, says Tosfos, that there seems to be a fundamental problem here. We need to bring that in the Gemara and Kritut, Shekein Nehneh. Why do we need Shekein Nehneh as a reason to be mechayev you, if the idea of mitaseik is this question of melechet machshevet and so on? Before we make it clear, there's two completely different types of mitaseik. Then why would there ever have been a thought that prat mitaseik would apply to the case of arayot or the case of achila? Just tell me, if you don't darshan ba, you don't need shekein nehenem. Okay, so Tosfos clearly, it says, look, we've got to distinguish between different types of mitaseik. It's very confusing using that word for things that are very, very different, because obviously the mitaseik on Shabbat is a completely different mitaseik. For instance, what about a case in which you wanted to do the type of thing that you're doing, but you wanted to do it with an adjacent vegetable? So you wanted to pick up a tomato, and you wanted to pick a tomato, you picked the wrong tomato. You picked a tomato that had this spot on it. Over there, Lagabe Shabbat, there's a whole different din of lo nasek machshavto, and therefore it's not melechet machshavet, which doesn't touch upon the general issue of mitasek at all. There are places where we need to come on to the issue of melechet machshavet, which we wouldn't have covered from mitasek. There, that lechora would not be applicable to the normal din of mitasek in other cases, where as long as this is the act I wanted to do, despite the fact that it may be an act that is different than I had intended it, it doesn't matter. But there you get into questions of this new type of mitasek, which is ba. There are many variations on the theme, and there's machlokas in the Gemara as to what the difference would be. In other words, let's say, for instance, give an interesting case. A guy, instead of wanting to pick up a vegetable that fell to the ground, has now a number of things on the table, and wants to cut them up for a salad. So now he cuts up the vegetable on the table, not realizing that the vegetable on the table was connected by a vine still to the ground. But the act that he was doing, he always wanted to cut up a vegetable. So now, that's different than saying, now wait a minute, I had no intent of cutting anything. I didn't even know it was attached. I just wanted to pick up the vegetable. You'll notice that that's a different deal. Because certainly the act that I was doing, taking a scissors or taking a knife and cutting the vegetable, is exactly the same act. Now the question is, does that act constitute a malacha? Doesn't it constitute a malacha? That's a question of whether that, is that also considered to be metasek? Or only the previous cases of metasek? You see the shadings over here in terms of the relationship to the object or individual or the piece of meat that I'm eating, to the intent at what it is I want to achieve with a malacha, which clearly is only in terms of Shabbat, to the specificity of my relationship to the item, whether you get it to the shekein ne'eneh or whether naaseit machshavto. And there's many, many shadings. So this is a sugya, you understand. This, obviously, here we're just mentioning it in passing. Bah, prat l'mitasek. But don't expect that bah, prat l'mitasek is the full spectrum over here of issues of mitasek. Obviously, if you don't have this bah, there's other elements of mitasek that are still going to be negiyah. Now, that was the approach we had yesterday. Continues the Gemara today. Rabbi Yochanan and Omer on the sixth line. Rabbi Yochanan and Omer, I disagree. The fact is that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva are not arguing. And I do not believe that when Rabbi Eliezer learned it out from the O Nivlat Sheretz Tameh V'Ne'alam, that he meant to say, yeah, I need to know that it's a Sheretz Tameh. All we have over here is Mashmaut Dorshin Ikabinay. The question is, what is more logical to use as the basis of the drasha? The idea that comes before the Halama or the Vanilla V'Tameh after the Halama? Because we know that, even Reb Sheshet never said that, by the way, but we know that Reb Sheshet held that. You know why? Because Reb Sheshet machalif to Rabbi Eliezer to Rabbi Akiva, to Rabbi Akiva to Rabbi Eliezer. Reb Sheshet would say over the Shitot without caring. He wouldn't tell you that necessarily Rabbi Akiva held that it was from Menelam Vutameh, and Rabbi Eliezer held it was too much Sheretz. He would reverse the Shitot at times. Why? Because since it's only Mashmaut Dorshin, he held that there was no practical application, and because of that, the chiyuv of recognizing the consistency of an approach where you're chiyuv to remember who says what at all times was irrelevant in that. This is the one place where we see a makor for the Rambam. The Rambam's tendency all through Mishnah Torah is he couldn't care less about where the drasha is from. He'll quote the halacha and he makes up a drasha. Because ultimately it's mashmaut dorshin. Not only that, we're going to see on this daf, and a very fascinating thing, that dorshin is after the fact. Whenever we go out to be doresh, or not, I shouldn't say wherever, but oftentimes when we go out to be doresh, we go out to be doresh what we already know. The question is only how to be mechaberet to the structure that we see that the Torah is presenting. We'd never have figured it out without having a sense of the Tzurat HaTshmaita according to the Torah Shabbat, the Gemara, that's a Gemira in love. And therefore, a mashma'ut dorshin is really insignificant because anyway we know the Allah. And there are different ways in which the various mefarshim of the Gemara actually will always explain a Gemara either according to a Gemara that they have, which they give you over an understanding of the sugya, like Rashi will do, or try to force through a consistent basis of drasha, an interrelationship between sugyas like Tosfos does, which is a very different thing. And the truth is the Gemara itself oftentimes changes its approach based on whether this is something that is fundamentally a Gemara Gemirila or is fundamentally being discovered through the drasha itself. Yeah. Mashmaut Dorshin simply means what is the more logical place to draw this out of the pasuk, but not that they're not necessarily, maybe not to learn from, maybe to attach to. Yes, to learn from, but I know what I'm looking for. That's the point. I'm trying to figure out something that I know. Now I'm trying to figure out how do I know it. It's very much like a phenomena of nature. So we have a given phenomena. But where does that given phenomena come from? So there you could have a machloket. What's the underlying mathematical approach that explains this phenomenon? We're not arguing about the phenomenon. We understand this is a phenomenon. Now tell me, where does that phenomenon come from? Classic example was the machlokas in terms of early quantum mechanics. Whether you look to wave mechanics, this is an application of wave mechanics to the microcosm. Or whether you look to matrix mathematics, it got a totally different world. The fact is it's exactly the same in terms of the phenomenon, but it's a totally different mashmaut dorshim. So this becomes now basically what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, it's not nogeya. And that once it was possible to prove that there could never be a difference, la halacha, phenomenologically, between those two approaches, it was no longer nogeya. That's the point. Look at it this way, look at it that way, it doesn't really matter. Boy mine rava mirav nachman. Now here we come to a fascinating question. The Torah says halama, and we have a machlokas, according to both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, the only thing that the Torah is mechayev you on the halama is halamat tumah, and not halamat migdash, correct? So now, how about if a guy forgot both things? He forgot that he was tameh, he forgot that this is the Beit HaMikdash, or he forgot that this piece of meat is Basar Kodesh. Helim zevizeh biadoma. What is the point over here? Is the point of saying that you're potter on halamat migdash, does that mean that the only thing that the Torah wants you to focus on is the fact that you're tamei? And if you forgot the fact that you're tamei, anything else that would have been part of the equation is irrelevant, because the act that followed your not knowing that you're tamei, that act does not have to be caused directly by the fact that you don't know that you're tamei. But it's certainly an application of the fact that you don't know that you're tamei. The other way of looking at it is, no, the Torah is saying, if the fact that you forgot that you were tamei causes you to be over on the Isser of Kedisah LaMikdash, then you're going to bring your carbon olive yari. But if that was not directly attributed to your forgetting that you were tamei, because after all, had you known you were tamei, you still would have walked in here because you don't know that it's the Mikdash. Therefore, we can't look at this as a case where the Torah was mechayev on Helem Tuma for Nichnas LaMikdash. That's my question. Said Reb Nachman to him, well, who cares? I mean, the bottom line is he did forget he was tamei, and he did actualize that forgetting by walking into the Beit HaMikdash, and therefore, why should he be potter just because there were other elements? So the Torah is b'chayev you for Helem Tuma, which is actualized. Bloop. That's what you have over here. Said Rava to him, Adarava. I mean, Harei Helem Migdash Biado. I mean, how can you say you actualized the Alamas Tuma? You didn't actualize Alamas Tuma. We can ignore the Alamas Tuma. Since this act was achieved through Alamat Migdash, we can say the Alamat Tuma is irrelevant. In the same way a guy forgot that he was Tumay, but he didn't walk into the Beit HaMikdash. You're going to say you're for forgetting your Chayav? Of course not.
So, even had he known it.
Even had he known it, it would have made no difference. Now, it says Ravashi the weirdest thing. What Ravashi seems to be saying on the surface is, well, let's apply the litmus test. Chazina, imituma kaparish. If the guy would, knowing that he was tamei, we tell him, you are tamei, so then that clearly would have implied, hare helim tuma biyada. So then it's all about tuma, and he should be chayev. If when we told him this is the Beit HaMikdash, he would be parish, so then hare helim migdash biyada, and he's potter. I'm like, what in the world are you talking about? I mean, klum pireish mi migdash, elam ishum tuma. Klum pireish mi tuma, elam ishum migdash. What's the point? The point is that if somebody says to you, hey, this is the Beit HaMikdash, and you say, that's nice, what are you trying? Oh my God, I'm tummy! So then, basically, we're left with the same questions. You've got two issues. If somebody says to the guy, hey, what's wrong with you? You're tummy. The guy says, so, oh, I forgot it's the Beit HaMikdash. But it boils down to requiring two pieces of information. So what is Ravashi trying to say? What kind of litmus test could this possibly be? It just tells us, yeah, what the heck is he talking about? I mean, how would we ever be able to apply the case? Where would we have this? If it's because it happened to be that's what we told him, and it clicked. And if it would have been the other way, we happened to tell them, it would have clicked just as well. So this is not much of a litmus test, then, is it? I mean, maybe if we'd said it the other way around, it would have worked just as well the other way around. He would have gone, in either direction. We would have been more him to think. That doesn't even make any sense. Of course Rav Ashi can't be saying that there is a litmus test that could be applied. He's just saying that you could, in certain cases, if you ask the guy, suppose you had known it, I mean, if somebody was, would it have occurred to you that you're tummy? And he says, no, never. Okay, so then the tumah is not, the tumah would have been now the issue of the shakuach, and vice versa. So he's not saying every case could be established. He's just saying, theoretically, a person can know what is his ikar shikra. But the other approach that Tosfos has is a completely different way of looking at the sugya, and what is unique about it is that it's the first time that we have a good reason to call it yidiyota tuma instead of halamot. Remember, we dealt with that issue earlier. I mean, if really the Torah is focusing on halamot, the Gemara has to come up. We mean halamot of yidiyota tuma means the halamot of the yidiyot. This approach of Tosfos for the first time gives us a ktsechut, as they say, to consider what that would mean. And what Tosfos suggests is that Rav Ashi is giving an actual resolution, but not because we're able to figure out what he would have done, but rather because we're talking about what constitutes the yediyah. That is, what was the case, Rav Ashi is saying. Suppose you told him, when you're saying that he would be purged from tuma. So the point over here is, if you told him, the last thing that you told him was tuma. And that is what made it clicked. So then over there, it means, had I told him in the beginning, before I told him it was the Mikdash, he would have been parsed. Doesn't matter. Because the bottom line is, what is that piece of missing information that actually causes him to need to address the fact that he was over? If the last piece of information that he finds out about, the Yediyah, is the Tumah, then it means it's a Yediyata Tumah. Because the last thing that he forgot was, it's still halamat tumah. So what makes it click? V'hu yada. The v'hu yada was, oh, now I know the other piece of missing information. I was tummy. Then that's what was gerim him to bring the response to his chait. So he has to bring a korban ol v'yorim. If what was gerim him to bring the response to his chait was the fact there was a migdash, so we tell him first you're tummy. Okay, I'll go to the migdash. No, you don't understand. You went into the Beit HaMikdash. That was the Beit HaMikdash. I always thought it would be more impressive than that. So then, it's like the guy's going to the Kotel today. So then, that was what caused them to need to address what happened. So that is something that there was not Makayim Iman. But Rav Ashi was not coming to try to figure out which one was the Iker of the Halama. That's indeed irrelevant. Totally different approach. Okay. But in any event, it gives us now a deeper understanding of what Rav Ashi is trying to say here. And there, according to this, the response of Ravina to Rav Ashi is that it ought to be irrelevant the way that things happened to have worked out. What's relevant is what is the relationship to information in the end. Why should we look to the chronological development of the information? Either way, you need to know two things, and those two things means that you do not have a clear-cut application, according to Rava, of Halamat Tumah. Lo Shana. Tana Rabban, how about this fascinating case as to what constitutes a yediyah of Tumah? You have two paths in front of you. Shnei Shvilim. We don't know now about either of these paths, which one is the one that has a kever, somebody buried under the path. But we know that there's definitely one of these is tameh. Now, this guy walks in path number one. Fine. Does not walk into the Mikdash. He then walks on path number two. And then he does go into the Mikdash. And then he forgets. So now, he obviously is chayiv. This seems to be a class case of Tubat Mikdash. Ugedoshav, there's no problem. At least that's what it appears on the surface. However, how about in a case where between the two times that he walks on this path, he was mitaher himself? Then we've got a different situation. Halach b'rishon v'nichnas. Now, this time he does go into the Beit HaMikdash, the first time. He goes and he's mitaher himself and he's tovel. First he goes with the paraduma, goes to a mikveh. And then again he goes into the Beit HaMikdash after walking on the other path. And each time, now, he goes in with a he'elim. So in this case, lichora, he's chayev memanav shach. In other words, either the first time he went in, he was tameh, or the second time he went in, his tameh. However, you could see that here we get into a different question, because he never really knew and could have known that he was tameh. So his forgetting was the forgetting of his suffix tumah. It's on this case that Rabbi Shimon says, no, here I disagree. Rabbi Shimon is poter, because since the first time I went in, it was only yediyat safek. And the second time I went in, it was only yediyat safek. Because in between, I had been mitaher. Why would that be enough to be mechayev me? Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda says that alibid Rabbi Shimon, poter bekulan, even in the first case, you would be potter, even though the first case seems a classic case. What's the difference how you became tameh? Whether it was in two stages, one stage, you went on one path, and then you went on the other path, and then you went in. So when you went in, you were vadei tameh? Ask the Gemara, and forget about those two dots, it's confusing. What do you mean, bekulan? How could it be bekulan? The first case is such an obvious case of classic tumat mikdash v'kadosh ha'mamonavshach. What's the difference whether we became tamei on path A or on path B? He's definitely tamei. So, and then he went in. No. This is much more subtle than it appears. What it's talking about here is that he goes along the first path and he goes along the second path. The only problem is that b'sha'a shalak b'sheni, at the time that he walked on the second path, he had already forgotten that he walked on the first path. In other words, he never knew that he was tamei at all. It's true he has all the necessary information that would add up, if he was aware of it, to the fact that he was tamei, but at no time was he able to add up that information. In which case, what we're talking about over here is not a true yediyah. It's a partial yediyah. Not a suffek yediyah, but a partial yediyah. So b'akam yiflegit. Tanakama sava amriyan miktsat yediyah kiko yediyah. So the Tanakama, meaning not the Tanakama itself, but Rabbi Shimon, in the first version of Rabbi Shimon, holds that that's not relevant. Because since there was enough, I could have known, and what I knew partially, and it was mechayev me not to go in, and I went in, that's considered to be, I want to be a halem, obviously, that's considered to be a halama, and I would be chayev. Whereas the second version, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda's version of Rabbi Shimon Savar, lo amina miksat yediyah kako yediyah, the Torah is b'chayev you, on v'ne'alam, it means the ha'alama of that which you completely were aware of, I know I'm tameh. Whereas in this scenario, I never knew that I'm tameh. I know that I might be tameh. That's not enough. Now how about in yet a third case? Halach b'rishon v'nichnas. This time you went along the path and you did go in. And then you went and you were mitayer yourself. You had the hazayah v'paraduma, v'shana, v'taval. And then again, he goes back and he's chazav halach b'sheni v'nichnas. Now here we have another machlokas. In this case, the Tanakhama says you're chayev, and Rabbi Shimon again says you're potter. Now in this case, of course, you're chayev, according to the Tanakhama, not here, a suffix idea because you didn't happen to recall, but a real suffix idea, not a miktsas idea where had you known the whole idea, you would have had all the information, but indeed there was no time when the information was available. The only idea you had was the fact that you might be tamei, and you couldn't have known any more. So how, there Rabbi Shimon says you're potter, there it makes a lot of sense to say that you're potter. The question is, how did the Tanakhama, the real Tanakhama, who argues on Rabbi Shimon? How does he say you're chayev? I mean, this is not a miksat yediyah. This is a safek yediyah. But why would anybody think that a safek yediyah is enough? Certainly, usually when we're talking about a chiev of a carbon, you need to know that you did something wrong. In this case, there never was a moment that you knew you did something wrong. So how in the world do you bring a carbon on it? Rabbi Yochanan, well, that's true, boys. When it comes to the din of Tumat Mikdash V'Kedoshav, indeed a Safek Yediyah is all that the Torah demands. And we'll see where we know this from. Reish Lakish says, no. This has got to be going on Libet Rabbi Yishmael. Remember that Rabbi Yishmael holds, lo be'inan yediyah b'tchila. So if you don't need yediyah b'tchila, so then who cares if it's a suffik yediyah? Anyway, you don't need a yediyah b'tchila. Which of course seems to beg the point, so then why are we discussing this? Okay, that we'll see in a moment. So now we have a machloket, please try to concentrate, it's a little bit complicated. A machloket Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish about whether a suffik yediyah is considered to be a yediyah, or the only reason this works is because you don't even need the suffik yediyah, because you don't need any yediyah. But the problem is that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish seem here to invert their shita. Because their shita, when it applies to a typical chatos, in which you don't need yediyah b'tchila, is inverted. And we do not see any reason to think at this point that the definition of a yediyah should be different, whether that yediyah is what the Torah is referring to, you need to know before the event, or it's the yediyah that allows you to recover from the event. Clear? We believe at this moment that the nature of yediyah in the Torah is actable upon information. What is that called? Who cares whether it's actable upon information before you did the chet, or whether it's actable upon after you did the chet, and the actable, it means to bring a carbon, because now I know. Assuming that it's always the same, how do we explain the fact that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish contradict themselves? Rami to Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yochanan, Rami to Rish Lakish and Rish Lakish. The Tanya. In a case where a guy eats a piece of meat, which is suffik chalef, and we tell him, how'd you do that? That could have been chalef. So then there's no doubt. And then he eats the other piece, which is a suffik chalef. And now we tell him, now he ate the other piece. So Rabbi says, okay. Let me ask you something. If a guy had eaten vadai chalef twice, and he found out in between, wouldn't he bring a chatas on each one? Yeah. Why? Because the yediyah in between was b'chayev and b'chatat, the technical way of saying that, yediyot mitchalkot. When you find out about something, that separates that act from the next act that forgot about it again. Therefore, says Rabbi, look, in the same way that you bring a chatas kavua on each achilas chalef, since you found out here twice that you might have eaten chalef, you need to bring an asham tolui on both of these acts. That's what he seems to be saying. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon amru mishum Rabbi Shimon, eno mevi al asham tolui achad, you can only bring one asham tolui. Shinemar al shigigato asher shagag. You bring an asham tolui for the fact that you're not sure of what you did wrong. HaTorah ripta shigigot harbei. Yasham talui achat. The Torah says you bring one asham talui for many events. Fine. This is not directly nogea to us, but what is nogea is the following machlokes between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. The Omar Reish Lakish, you know what? Kan shana Rebbe. Rebbe has taught us a very important thing here. Namely, idiot sveikot or mitchalkot lechataot. So then, what Rebbe is essentially saying to us is, says Reish Lakish, is that when he finds out that it was chalev. So now the yediyat safek that he had in between the two achilot make the two achilot chayev echatat vadai on each one of these achilot. Suppose it turns out that each safek chalev that he ate was actually vadai chalev. He never found out that it was vadai chalev until after he had eaten both pieces. But he did find out that he shouldn't have eaten the first piece because it was a suffik chalek. Is the suffik yediyah sufficient to be machalik for the vadai chatas? Now, in other words, what Rish Lakish is doing is he's taking Rebbe one step beyond. I mean, we thought all Rebbe was saying is that the suffik yediyah is machayev on each act a ashim talui. Says Rish Lakish, that's not what Rebbe's saying. Rebbe's saying is that when you do find out, you're going to have to bring a separate chatas kavua on each achila. Even though you never found out between the two achilot that you ate chela vadai, but the very fact that there was a suffix as to whether you had eaten chela already separated out that act from the next act of eating chela. Which is saying what? Which is saying that Rish Lakish is taking for granted that the point is that a suffix yediyah has all of the impact of a vadai yediyah. and would be mechalek even for a chatat kavua, as opposed to the Ashram Tolu, where the essence of an Ashram Tolu is the Yediyat Safek. Now that proves that the information, when we say actable upon information, the Safek would be sufficient. Exactly the opposite of what Rish Lakish said over here. The only option that Rish Lakish saw over here, making sense out of this, was to say, well, I mean, it couldn't be that we're saying that a Safek is considered to be a knowledge. How could possibilities be knowledge? Must be it's Rebbe Yishmael holds you don't need knowledge at all. And here he goes ahead and says exactly the opposite. Ah! You see, from here, possibilities are knowledge enough. And Rebbe Yochanan also contradicts himself. Because Rebbe Yochanan, Omar, please, all Rebbe is saying is not that you would be able to bring a Korban Chatas Vadai because you found out that it was a Suffolk in between. All he was saying is, in mentioning mevi chatat al kol echad vecha, what do you think he meant, that you're going to bring a chatat on a yediyah safek? That's not what he was saying. He was saying as follows: would it not be true that if you found out you ate chalev and you were chayav a chatat, that when you ate another piece of chalev, you're chayav another chatat? Then, by the same token, if you found out that maybe you ate chalev, you're chayav an ashram talui. When you find out again that you ate maybe a different piece of chalev, you're chayav a different Ashram Tolui. That's all Rebbe is saying. He's not trying to relate the Suffolk Yediyah of an Ashram Tolui to be the equivalent of a Vada Yediyah to bring a Chatas Vadai if it turns out that it was definitely chalev, which is the exact opposite of what Rebbe Yochanan says here. He's saying clearly that of course he's not talking about a Suffolk Yediyah. How could a Suffolk Yediyah be called Yediyah? And a minute ago, when he was explaining our sugya of Tumat Mikdash U'Kedoshah, which was the opening yediyah, he said, well, you see, a Suffolk yediyah is the equivalent of knowledge. We have an exact inversion of shitot. So let's see that inside again. Now, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, all Rabbi is trying to say is that Kishem Shiyediyot Safek Mitchalkot vis-a-vis a Korban Asham, the same thing would be true, as Shiyediyot Vadai or Mechalkot Agave Chatat, the same thing would be true, Kach, Yediyot Safek and Mechalkot LaHashamot. So now, we have a contradiction. The way out of the contradiction to Rabbi Yochanan is obvious, because Rabbi Yochanan said a very meaningful word. His word was Kan, as if to say here and only here. Well, Rabbi Yochanan, not Rabbi Yochanan's Lokasha, because he was very careful to say advisedly, Kan Asu. Why? We'll have to see. But this unique case of Tumat Mikdash V'Kedoshav is the only place where we make a Safek Yediyah Ki Yediyah. Not when it comes to a typical Chatat. V'lo b'chol HaTorah Kula Asu. Why is that? I'll tell you why. Ha'achahu d'lo k'tiva Yediyah Behedeh. Look again at that Pasuk. Does the Pasuk ever say that you know? The Pasuk said you forgot. From which we derive the fact, if you recall, that if you forgot, you must have known. What else is there to forget if you never knew? Well, now, is that so clear? And is not knowledge of the possibility forgettable? Certainly it is. You may not call it knowledge, but you can certainly call it a forgetting. So if you're focusing on the Vnei Olam, take a look how we've increased the subtlety of our understanding of the interrelationship between the halama and the idea. It's poetic, it's so beautiful. My gosh. So because of that, says Rabbi Yochanan, of course this is a unique case. Well, you think we're just playing games when we use the word v'nei olam to imply the din of yediyah? So it's telling us, Khan, there's a different understanding of what level of yediyah is required. I'm telling you, if they knew anything in literary circles about how to analyze the nature of a word to this extent, of the implications of actual differences in real life, we'd have a different level of poetry. So therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, is a unique case. Don't ask me from the relationship to Chatat Vadai. Okay, that's fine. But what about Rish Lakish? How could he invert himself? So again, let's see it inside. It never says Yediyah. It only says Vnei Olam. But lo b'kol haTorah kula asu, because over there it says by hoda elav chatato. You have to know. You're calling maybe knowing? So there you need yidiyah ma'ayatavina. Knowledge is knowledge, not possibilities. A little Reish Lakish. But Reish Lakish has such an easy way out. Instead of saying what appears to be anyway crazy, what are you telling me? It's Rabbi Yishmael. If it was Rabbi Yishmael, why are we discussing any level of yidiyah? According to Rabbi Yishmael, I never needed a yidiyah. Why talk about a mitzvah yidiyah? Why talk about a suffix yidiyah? Why would Reish Lakish say, I mean, obviously, this is an extremist to say it's going Aliva to Rabbi Yishmael. It would be easy to say that it's going Aliva to Rebbe, and it's Rebbe Shita, that a Suffolk Yediya is sufficiently Yediya. So just tell me Nukbaka Rebbe. What, says the Gemara? Did you think Reish Lakish was saying the only option is Rabbi Yishmael? Of course not. Because if he were, you could be sure we'd be down his throat and asking him, why the heck do we need this case to explain Rabbi Yishmael? No. All Reish Lakish was saying is, by the way, gentlemen, Rabbi Yishmael holds that you don't need a yediyah at all. So, I mean, this is not even mentionable in the world of Rabbi Yishmael. That's all that he's saying. Because, well, anybody knows that, pshita. Didn't we learn that in the beginning of the whole discussion of yediyot ha-tumah? Remember, we spoke about Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael could not use the extra word v'ne'alam to tell me this idea of Yediyah B'Tchila. He needed the extra v'ne'alam to teach me halamat migdash, remember? So, I mean, it follows logically, if he doesn't have the makor that we had for Yediyah B'Tchila, then he doesn't have the makor, so he doesn't know it. So I understand that, obviously, it's something that Rabbi Yishmael wouldn't have even begun discussing. I need Reish Lakish to tell me this. I'm pshita, delo boy, of course he needs no Yediyah. He doesn't have an extra v'ne'alam. He needs that over there, the mechayev alayim mikdash. Answers the Gemara, now wait a minute. Just because you don't know how you know it, doesn't know, mean you don't know it. So I might have thought, if it hadn't been Reish Lakish, ki let le mikroi. All that we see in Rabbi Yishmael is that he hasn't figured out what the makor of the din of Yediyah B'Tchila is. But, I mean, does that mean that Rabbi Yishmael actually, I mean, isn't that a shocker, baby? Rabbi Yishmael actually holds there's no din of Yediyot B'Tchila. Every child knows about Yediyot B'Tchila. So I might have thought that Rabbi Yishmael, of course, had the same approach. It's a phenomena. Yes, this particular list here of phenomena that is associated, I mean, he's got everything else. Tell me, this piece he doesn't have. I would have thought, Migamara Itle, of course he holds it, but he just doesn't know where he knows it from. Kamash Malan, that no, he actually has no Mekor, not as a Gemara, and not in the Pasuk, and therefore argues on the whole assumption. Hadron Allah Yediyot HaTum'ah, Shivuot Shtayim She'in Arba, getting on now, finally, into Masechet Shivuot, now that we've taken care of the lesser issue, or the thing that has very little material, as the Gemara said, we just want to finish that up before we get to the main sugya. Don't lose heart, gentlemen. So, Shvuot Shtayim Shein Arba. What are the Shtayim Shein Arba? As we know, Shvuot She'ochal V'Shalo Ochal in the future, or to the two, Lahara Lahitiv, and Shvuot in the past. By the way, says Rabbi Akiva, just so that you should know, if a guy says and then he eats, I don't care what he eats, he could eat the tiniest amount. He's ochal kosher, he's already chayav. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Omrulah to Rabbi Akiva, what? It's unheard of. Where did you ever see that you could define eating as being something less than a kezayit or less than a birya? You tell me anything that you eat? Amalam Rabbi Akiva, where did we see? Where did we see? And where did we see that somebody says something and brings a carbon for saying something? So obviously we're looking at what he's saying. If the guy is saying, I won't eat in the sense of I will not put a piece of digestible material in my oral cavity and swallow it, would you tell me he needs a kezayit? This guy is going to be midaberu mevi korban. No. So you're trying to say, where did we find? This is a whole new world, my friends.
No shiurim for...
No shiurim? Why would there be a shiurim? That's what the guy is intended. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Mashma'ut Dorshin Ikebinayim. V'chein Amar Rav Sheshet, Mashma'ut Dorshin Ikebinayim. because Rav Sheshet would be makhluk to Rav Elezer, Rav Akiva, Rav Akiva, Rav Elezer. But ne rabba mi Rav Nachman, ha'alem ze v'ze biyado mahu. Amalei, well, who cares? Harei alem tuma biyado v'chayim. On the contrary, harei alem tuma migdash biyado and his potter. Am Rav Ashi, well, we can always be chazim. Imi tuma kaporish, harei alem tuma biyado v'chayim. Imi migdash kaporish, harei alem migdash biyado v'potter. Amalei, Ravina, Rav Ashi, well, what's the difference? Klum parish mi migdash, alem shum tuma. Klum parish mi tuma, alem shum migdash. Alem shna. Either yod, like Rav Nachman, like Rav. Tana Rabbana, shnei shvili, chata mei vechata hor. V'alach b'rishon v'lo nichnas. And then, alach b'sheni v'nichnas. Chaya. Alach b'rishon v'nichnas, and then, was he's a b'shon of a tov. V'acharkach alach b'sheni v'nichnas, and he's chaya. But Rabbi Shimon potters, according to Shimon Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon is potter b'kulam. Oh, b'kulam? What? I feel like a mite and a man of shach. He was telling me, Amar Rav Akma Eskinan, Gagot Shehalach B'Rishon, U'B'Sha'ah Shehalach B'Sheni Shechach B'Alach B'Rishon. In which case he has a mitzat yidiyah. Boka miflege. Tana kama sovar min a mitzat yidiyah kecho yidiyah. Rabbi Shimon sovar lo amin a mitzat yidiyah kecho yidiyah. Halach B'Rishon, v'nichnas, yizah v'shana v'taval, chazah v'alach b'sheni, and then v'nichnas. In such a case, you're chayav, and Rabbi Shimon poter. What? But then it's only a safek yidiyah. Om Rabbi Yochanan, kana su safek yidiyah kidiyah. V'shalakash amar, omoni Rabbi Shmuel, idamar lo be'ina nidiyah betchila. V'romi de Rabbi Yochanan, ad Rabbi Yochanan, rei romi reishalakash ad reishalakash, t'tanya, okal safek chel, v'noda, Suffolk Chelev Vinoda. So Rabbi Omer Kishem Shmevi Chatat Al Kol Achad V'Achad Kach Mevi Hashem Tavoy Al Kol Achad V'Achad. Rabbi Shimon Ben Yehuda Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Amru Mishum Rabbi Shimon Eno Mevi Al Hashem Tavoy Achad Shnemar Al Shiyoto Asher Shagag Atora Ripta Shigigot Arbe V'Hashem Tavoy Achad V'Omer Esh Lakish Kan Shana Rabbi Yidiot Svekot Mitchalkot L'Chataot. Rabbi Yochanan, all Rabbi is saying is that Keshem Shidiot Vadai Bialma are mitchalkot lechataot, kach idiot safek are mitchalkot lashamot. So, Bishlem, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Tasha kan asu, belobetol kolator kula asu, it's only hacha who deloktiva yedia anyway, bad. All it says is vinelam implies yedia. Zudikaat. Mashenkein becholator lo becholator kula asu, because there it says beferish. Oh, hoda elav. Hoda elav means you gotta know what you're talking about. So you need yidiyah ma'al yatamiya. Elal reish lakish, adamukim la karebi yishmol. Nukma karebi. Akamash malan, the rebi yishmol. Lo boy, yidiyah betchilan. Obviously, doesn't need yidiyah. The lo boy. Midolo miyat relay kroi. How's he gonna know with vinealam? He needs that somebody in rechayav al ha'lamigda. Ma de tema, ki let le mi kroi, af mi gemore itle. Kamashman on, adon alach idiot atum an.